Amen. How many of you will respond to your name when your name is called? Can I see your hands? Amen. Well, what a blessing. What a blessing it is to have Pastor again here with us. It's a relief and a great joy. Looking forward to hear from him again, to hear him preach. We need you. We need you. All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. The book of Revelation, chapter 7. Today, I requested if I could leave aside the music seminar for just 1 week. And we're going to do that. Today, we're going to answer a question that was raised last week by one of our members. I won't disclose his or her name, but it was a good question. And it was raised because of some other things that I mentioned. So let's read Revelation right there. Revelation chapter 7, and the verse is verse 9, all right? It says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to meet together in your name. Thank you that it is well with our souls. Thank you that we can be anchored and be safe in the arms of Jesus. Thank you for all the beautiful songs that we had the opportunity to sing, full of doctrine, full of meaning, and full of edification and good fruit. I just pray now that you bless the teaching of your word may be profitable today. What a wonderful Savior we serve. What a wonderful God we worship. May you be honored in our meeting today. May all the cares be laid aside. May all our worries be put somewhere else. And now our focus be on you. May you be the one, Lord, controlling with your Holy Spirit. I acknowledge my need of you today. Bless our service. In your name we pray. Amen. The question that we have is, in fact, I have right here. I'll read it word by word. What are the palms mentioned there? And what are they for? The question is referring to verse 9, which says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." I don't know about you, but it's very exciting to think of heaven. Just the fact that in heaven there's not going to be just one single group of people, people's groups. It's not going to be just Mexicans. Of course not, you say. But it's going to be everybody. It's going to be black, white, yellow, green, all sorts of colors of skin. And not only that, but it's going to be, you know, Mexicans, Guatemalans, and Americans, and Europeans, and Russians, and everything. So it's going to be a really rich and beautiful sight. And that is just how God wants it. God opened the doors of salvation to everyone who would believe. And that's the view that we have here. That's a beautiful sight. We have people of all nations, which, by the way, no man can number. So if no man can number, it's not 144,000. Of all nations and of all families, of all last names. There's going to be Morales there. There's going to be Bonds there. There's going to be Hernandez and Smiths. And they all stood before God and before His Son. And it says here, before the Lamb. Clothed in white robes, no more sin. But also palms in their hands. Now, the palms there is not referring to the palms of your hands, right? The palms there is referring to real branches of palm trees. Now, the way we know that is because in the original language it's not the same word, branches and palms of your hands. And the word there is referring to real date palm tree branches, okay? So, the glory, now this is important for us to open in our introduction. The glory of Jesus Christ in heaven, or the glory of the Lamb, or the reason that everybody worships the Lamb and says, "How majestic, glorious is your name, and how wonderful you are, O Lord," is because of His glorious death and resurrection. In other words, that's why, not only because the Lamb is God, but because He was slain, because He was killed, that is a constant song of all creation, of all creatures, and especially of those who were saved because of His death and resurrection. Now listen to Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song. What is this song that we will be singing? Not only we're going to have palms in our hands, but we're going to have a new song. You want to know what you're going to be singing? Worthy are you to take the scroll. Now what's this scroll? Well, this scroll is a scroll widely understood as the decrees of God, things that only God can know. And since nobody else could open it, but there was one who could open it because He is God, namely the Lamb. So He was worthy to open this scroll, its seals. And listen to the next verse. Because, so the reason Jesus Christ gets glory and deserves our eternal song is because you were slain. And listen to this. And by your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. It is significant that one of the things that are mentioned is that we're going to have palms in our hands. That I agree with that. So, in order to understand why there's going to be those palms in our hands in heaven, well, let's look at what the Bible says about palm trees. Around here, we don't have many of them, but in the landscape of Israel, there were a lot of them. It's more of a dry wilderness landscape, so there's no pine trees, or there's no such thing as around here. It looks very different. It looks more barren and rocky and such things. So palm trees grow really well. Now, palm trees are very interesting because they are quite the find. So in other words, everything is dry, everything is barren, and then boom, you have these huge trees. They're green, they're you know, giving fruit, they're producing fruit and sustaining people. So they almost feel like out of place. You know, they almost feel like how did this happen? How can something so beautiful and so big grow so tall? Maybe you don't know this, but it takes a lot of pressure and a lot of strength and energy, that's the word, to take water from the bottom of a tree to the top of the tree. That God made the trees in a way that they could pump that water and those nutrients from the bottom up. And that is very remarkable. And now palm trees are even more remarkable because they can do all that in the blazing heat of the desert. But now let's get to what the Bible says. Well, there's a few things that you must know about palm trees that the Bible tells us about. First, the height. The Bible points out about the height of a palm tree. The second is blessing. The third one is beauty. And the fourth one is celebration. So we're going to look into all those four things. Height is mentioned in the Bible. Blessing is mentioned in the Bible with the regard of palm trees. Beauty and celebration. Not only they were still green and healthy, the palm trees, but very high. Okay? Very, very high compared to the rest of the landscape. There were no houses that high as a palm tree. There were no buildings as high as a palm tree. And there were no other trees as high as a palm tree. The only thing bigger is a mountain. In the Bible, palm trees are used to describe height. Here, in English, I guess we say that things are as big as a house. Yes, that's our comparison. But for the in Bible times, the comparison is as big as a palm tree. And now you can find that in Song of Solomon. I'll let you guys read that later. As big as a house, but for them it was as big as a palm tree. Something that is high, you say that it was high as a palm tree. Now the second thing is blessing. And now it kind of goes these two tied together. You will see why. The contrast with the rest of the landscape of a fruitful tree in the middle of the desert was the perfect illustration for many psalms to describe the unique blessedness of the people of God. So in other words, desert, palm tree. It kind of stood out, you know. It was, whoa, that's weird. So that is the perfect illustration that the Psalms use to describe how the people of God are particularly blessed. Okay, let's look into some of those. Psalm 92:10, please turn there with me. Psalm 92:10. Christians are a blessed people. And they're uniquely blessed. Not just because they have a hope of heaven, but here on earth. And look in verse 10 what it says. Psalm 92:10 says, "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn." Unicorn there, not referring to the fairy tale-ish creature. Okay, this is a real animal, and more likely, I believe, is a rhinoceros. Okay, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Now, these are the blessings of a righteous man, or somebody that is made righteous, namely a Christian. "Mine eye also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me." The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. You see that? "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." So in Lebanon there's cedars. In Israel there is palm trees. Why will he look like a palm tree, the righteous man? Because he's going to stand out in the midst of barrenness and sin. The Christian stands out as the one that is blessed by God. "Those that be planted," verse 13, "in the house of the Lord." Hey, to be blessed, you need to be planted a church. "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still," listen to this, "bring forth fruit in old age." One of the blessings of being a Christian, when you're old, you're not going to stop bearing fruit. You're going to continue to bear fruit just like ever. Now listen to me. When I get older, some of you think I'm old, but when I get older, that is, I want to continue to bear fruit for God. I want to still have in my life the fruit of the Spirit, be joyful, be loving, be peaceful, and continue to bear fruit of the Spirit. But not only that, I want to continue to do for God. I want the things that I do, the things that I work, and I serve God, I want them to continue to redound for eternity. And you know what? Listen to me. The person that loves the Lord produces fruit all his life until his very death. That is a blessing that you can enjoy if you're planted in God's house, if you love him. To show that the Lord is upright. This is why you're going to be fruitful. To show. You're going to be a testament of God's, or a witness of God's righteousness. To show that the Lord is upright, you're going to continue to bear fruit all your life. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. There's a blessing for the righteous man. There's a blessing in doing the will of God. Bring fruit in their old age. Now, listen to this. It doesn't mean that you are going to look like a palm tree in the sense that you're going to continue to grow indefinitely, you know, like David. Not as tall as David. That's not what he's talking about. You're not going to keep growing like a giant, obviously. In other words, you're not going to grow physically indefinitely. That's not what he's talking about when he compares you to a palm tree. But what it means is, in fact, that wouldn't be a blessing, right? You hit your head on the door and stuff like that. But you're going to be uniquely and singled out blessed by God. That's what it means. You're going to continue to grow. You're going to continue to grow in your walk with the Lord. So, it's perfect. It's a perfect illustration. And in the Bible, palm trees, second thing is, they refer to blessing. The third thing is, they refer to beauty. Okay? For God, now listen to this, this is the point. For God, palm trees are beautiful. Okay? Have you thought about what God likes? Well, he likes a lot of things. He likes the shape of the pomegranate. He likes the shape of palm trees. He likes the strength of lions, the way he made it. He's like, that's perfect. If you want to showcase something strong, a lion is perfect. Well, in this case, for God, something beautiful looks like a palm tree. Now listen to this, 1 Kings chapter 6. Let's all turn there. 1 Kings chapter 6. That was God's choice for in the building of the temple when he decided what to put in the trim around the doors and stuff. Let's pick something beautiful. He picked palm trees. And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers within and without. Okay? So, picture that in your mind. The trim around the doors and the walls, it says. Picture a cherubim, an angel. Then picture a palm tree in your mind. And then open flowers. Okay? Within and without. The floor of the house he overlaid with gold. Now picture that in your mind. You can do it with this building if you want. Picture if the floor was all covered with gold. And for the entering of the oracle, he made doors of olive tree. Imagine the back doors being of olive tree, a beautiful, perfectly for carving wood. And he carved upon them carvings of cherubims and palm trees and open flowers, and overlay them with gold, and spread gold upon the cherubims and upon the palm trees. So also made he for the door of the temple posts of olive tree, a fourth part of the wall, verse 34. And the two doors were of fir tree. The two leaves of the one door were folding, and the two leaves of the other door were folding. And he carved thereon cherubims and palm trees and open flowers, and covered them with gold fitted upon the carved work. Now, look over here. Sometimes when we read about the building process of the temple or other buildings, we are told like this. Well, there's palm trees and there's cherubims and there's lions. And you say, well, how could that be? Is it over here or over there? And we're not really sure about how they were positioned exactly. But in this particular case, we get to know exactly how they were carved. You want to know where it's found? Well, go to Ezekiel 41. And we're going to know exactly how they were positioned on the doors. Ezekiel 41, verse 18. You put your curiosity to rest, and I'll show you exactly how they were positioned. And it was made with cherubims and palm trees. That's the same thing we read earlier, but now listen to this. So that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub. And every cherub had two faces. Okay, so stop reading there. So now we have a more clear picture on our mind. We have a cherubim. Now we know that it has two faces, right? One is looking that way, and the other one is looking that way. And on both sides of the cherubim, we have what? Palm trees. Beautiful, perfectly carved palm trees. Now, let's continue. And open flowers. So, between cherubim and cherubim, there were palm trees and flowers on the other side. And the face of a young lion toward the palm tree, and on the other side, it was made through all the house round about. So, for God, this was God's choice for the design of the carving in the temple. A cherubim, one face was a lion, one face was a man. And then in between cherubim and cherubim, there were beautiful palm trees. So the third thing we would call that God sees and mentions palm trees in the Bible because of their beauty. Okay? Fourth thing, let's turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. And the verse is verse 40. Now here we have the account or the explanation of how the Feast of the Tabernacles worked. Okay? This is the time of the year when the Israelites would go out of their houses and live in tents. Okay? Little huts. They did that for the purpose of remembering God's protection against the enemies of the land, against the Egyptians. So God took them out of Egypt, and he protected his people. And then to remind them about his protection, he told them that they would go out of their house and live in huts for 7 days, okay? And the Jews call this feast Sukkot, and then they commemorate that as a sheltering of the Israelites in the wilderness. When they were celebrating this, well, let's read the passage there. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, okay? This is going to be the celebration. They were so happy because God protected them. They were going to cut branches of palm trees and the boughs of thick trees and the willows of the brook. And ye shall what? Rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Maybe we should try that someday. We all go and live in tents. And just rejoice before God. We don't know how the rejoicing was. We know that they were supposed to be happy that day. Maybe there was surely there was meals and there was food and there was music and I don't know what else. But there, that was a time of celebration. Palm branches are always connected with celebration, with triumph. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. And when the Israelites were dwelling in tents, they would sing Psalm 118. And now listen to this. You don't have to turn. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then, verse 25, save now, I beseech you, O Lord, save now. You know, remember, they were celebrating God's protection in the wilderness. And for them, the protection was represented with the palm tree leaves. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And now, the word there, well, the phrase there, save me, is one word in the original language. Does anyone have any idea what that word is? What do you think? Save now, in verse 25. What's that?
Redeem.
Redeem? Not quite. Was a word in the original language in Hebrew that says save now. What do you say? Hosanna. Hosanna. O save us in the original language. Hosanna, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Now Hosanna, as we know, is a word used at the triumphal entry of Jesus. And guess what was present there? Palm trees, branches. Palm tree leaves would have been readily available. They were everywhere. That was the plant that they could avail themselves of. In the crowd, when the Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem, surely there were sincere people, people that were expecting, waiting for the Messiah to come and believe that he was him who would come. And then again, within the crowd, there were people that they had political motivations. In other words, there were people that were just waiting to overthrow the Roman government. And that's as far as they could see. They just care about themselves. They were not looking forward to the coming of their Messiah. But nevertheless, some of them were truly sincere. But all of them lined up on each side of the gate as far as they could. You could see a line of people gather with palm tree branches and waving those before they set them down, so that Jesus could ride on the donkey on top of him. The Bible tells us in a different gospel, this is John's gospel, that they were not only putting down palm tree branches, but they were putting down their own garments. Let's read there on John 12, and the verses 12 as well. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast of Sukkot, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Hebrew word there, Hosanna, oh, save, or save now, is an exclamation. It's always an exclamation. I don't know how else to say it. For us, we would have to put an exclamation point. That word is an exclamation of itself. And then on verse 14, it says, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, a king cometh, sitting on an ass colt. These things understood not the disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. And verse 17, the people therefore that was with him when he called. All right, and then the other passage that I mentioned is Matthew 21. Let's turn there to Matthew 21, that cross-reference for this account. Matthew 21 in verse 8 says, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. We know the branches of the trees there were palm trees because John tells us. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All right. And the verse there, the reference is to Zechariah 9:9, the prophecy that says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Another thing, palm trees in that time were used to celebrate an athlete's victory. That's what the Greeks did. Okay, so if a Greek marathon runner or a Greek athlete of any sort would win victory, a big victory, there would be palm trees there present among other plants. And they would wave them at them and they would cheer him up and say, victory, victory. Also, that word, for example, a Roman lawyer who won his case, that's very interesting. There were Roman lawyers back then. Every time they won a case, in court, they were not called courts, they were called forums. Those forums were the places where they elections took place. There were public speeches given there and criminal trials as well. But in these forums, every time a Roman lawyer won a case, he would be condecorated. Is that a word? Condecorated? In the front of his house, people would put palm trees to signify the victory of that lawyer. See, he won a big case, so he was victorious, and victory was always followed or represented by palm trees. So now we come to our text in Revelation. And so far we've learned that palm trees are, in the Bible, represent blessing. So far we've learned that they represent beauty. And then they represent celebration. And on verse 9 of Revelation 10, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Micaiah? Where's Micaiah? There he is. God wants us to know that in heaven, our job is going to be to tell the story, saved by grace, to give blessing and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever. And then look at verse 10. I want you to look with me in verse 10 of Revelation 7. "Those that were clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, they will be crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God." I guess that sums up this message. Salvation to our God. Now, we know God doesn't need saved, right, from anything. But what it means there is a salvation belongs to God. There's no salvation outside from God. If anybody at all tries to take that glory from God, they would be robbing from God's most glorious work, namely the work of salvation. God is zealous about being the only Savior. "All the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, fell before their faces, worshiped God, saying, blessing and glory." Can you give glory? Can you give blessing? Can you give God more wisdom? Certainly it doesn't mean that. What wisdom could we give to God? But we are saying, wisdom belongs to God. Glory belongs to God. And we're going to be using God's choice, God's of celebration, of demonstrating victory, of showcasing His beauty, and with palms in our hands, acknowledge that He is whom salvation belongs to. That there is nobody else that can say, "I save, with my arm I have saved." Only God. And there says, "And unto the Lamb." Why unto the Lamb? And we remember the words in verse and chapter 5 and verse 9. They sang a new song. What is going to be the song that you're going to be singing? "With palms in your hands. Worthy are you. Worthy are you." Remember those words, because those are going to be important in heaven. There's a lot of saying, "Worthy are you." Nobody else deserves it. Nobody else is entitled to it. God alone deserves the title of Savior. And if God is the only one entitled to the title of Savior, and the Lamb is called worthy, of necessity, the Lamb is God. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and by your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." I can't think of anything more exciting than that. of every color, of every tribe, of every family, all together worshiping God the way He wants to be worshiped. And using some palm tree branches that acknowledge salvation belongs to the King. And remembering that palm trees mean celebration to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember that it means beauty and the beauty of His holiness. And remembering that they mean blessing. Blessing ascribed to God because He has triumphed over the grave. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. What a glorious Savior we serve. May He be honored. May He receive the full reward for His sufferings. Oh, worthy is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world to receive power and glory and honor. For He has redeemed us with His blood from every tribe. I'm glad His blood was enough for Mexicans, was enough for Guatemalans, was enough for the whole world to cover sins and to pay the sin debt. We worship You for what You are and what You've done. Salvation truly belongs to You. In Jesus' name, amen.